All right, Alexander, let's talk about the event summit of Eurasian states. A lot of activity going on there, a lot of business done, a lot of deals made, interesting speeches from various leaders of Eurasian nations, Central Asian nations, Russian President Vladimir Putin as well. Lukashenko was also in Russia as well. And we also have on the sidelines of all of this activity in Russia with Eurasia and Central Asian states, we have a possible peace deal, a recognition of territory between Armenia and Azerbaijan, which is a very, very big deal if this this comes about. It will mean that we will have an end to about 30 plus years of fighting between these two countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, absolutely. And I mean, in many respects, a breakthrough, one which I suspect many people in Armenia will feel very let down by and very bitter about. But clearly, that's where the stars are aligned now. In effect, what is happening, the way this is working out, is that a deal is being done, which reminds me a little, more than a little actually, of the Minsk agreement that was supposed to settle the conflict in Ukraine, in the sense that Armenia recognizes Nagorno-Karabakh as part of Azerbaijan. So it recognizes Azerbaijanian territorial integrity, sovereignty over Nagorno-Karabakh. In return, Azerbaijan grants significant autonomy to Nagorno-Karabakh, apparently, to a certain extent, to a great extent, recognizing its Armenian character. Now, that really does resemble for me very much the outline ideas of the Minsk Agreement. And I wonder whether the reason is that it has been authored by the same man, who is to say Putin. That was Putin's idea for settling the Ukraine conflict back in 2015. Maybe he feels this is also the right way to settle the Azerbaijanian-Armenian conflict. And part of the deal that goes with it is that all the various roads, railways, all of these connections will be reopened. So the economic blockade that has in effect been enforced on Armenia for over a decade, will end. And at the same time, and this is really very interesting, you have both the president of Azerbaijan, Aliyev, and the prime minister of Armenia, Pashinyan, in Moscow. Pashinyan is a member of the Eurasian Economic Union. Armenia is a member of the Eurasian Economic Union. Pashinyan, who often makes very critical statements about the Russians, he sometimes gives the impression that Armenia is going to pull out of all of these organizations. But he invariably comes and attends them. He had a long one-to-one meeting with Putin. They came out looking quite friendly. Putin had a long one-to-one meeting with Aliyev, the president of Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan is not a member of the Eurasian Economic Union. But he attended this meeting. And there was also a three-party meeting in which all three of them, Putin, Pashinyan and Aliyev, all participated. So I wonder whether the deal which is being done is Armenia concedes Azerbaijan's territorial integrity. Azerbaijan gives guarantees to Armenia for its territorial integrity. I don't know that that has ever been a serious issue, but anyway, Azerbaijan does that. Azerbaijan also grants autonomy to Nagorno-Karabakh, and Azerbaijan joins the Eurasian Economic Union, because that's how it's looking to me. And lots of other speeches taking place, lots of speeches from Putin. And it was clear that all of these various republics that make up the Eurasian Economic Union, including Belarus, as you mentioned, Kazakhstan, Tokayev was there. He talks about the fact that he wants this. Tokayev was saying that he wants integration, economic integration, to proceed much further. He speaks about Kazakhstan becoming the Eurasian Union's industrial hub in Central Asia. But on the sidelines, even if only virtually, the representatives, the presidents of Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan, also participated, apparently. Neither country yet formally a member of the Eurasian Economic Union. I can't help but think that all of this is dovetailing together, and we're starting to see all these various republics reintegrate with each other economically, not perhaps in the way that was the case when they were all part of the Soviet Union, but in quite a close way nonetheless. Now, just to finish off, remember, all of these leaders attended the Victory Day parade in Moscow on the 9th of May, except for Aliyev, who was commemorating the 100th birthday of his father. Then they went off to Xi'an and they had a meeting with Xi Jinping. Xi'an in China, where they had a meeting with Xi Jinping. Now they're all back in Moscow, either in person or virtually. This big deal between Armenia and Azerbaijan, as I said, looks like it's in the works. And on top of that, we have all the other deal about the economic integration of these countries with Russia. I can't help but think that, again, the Chinese and the Russians are working together. There's some kind of bigger deal between them that's been done. The idea is to re-establish all these economic interconnections that existed whilst the Soviet Union, you know, existed, but with the Chinese in some way bankrolling it.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, in essence, we're looking at Eurasia, One Belt, One Road. I mean, that's what it looks like to be.
Yes.
That all of these countries are going to be stakeholders in this big trade bloc that China will be.
Yes.
Will be the anchor of. I mean, that's where it all begins.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I should say Putin's speeches on the economics are really very interesting. And, you know, Pashinyan, who was the Armenian leader, who, as I said, sometimes spoken about distancing himself, or rather Armenia, from all of this, seemed to be enthusiastically going along. And Putin was talking about free movement of goods, services, people. It all sounded like what the European Union was about before, of course, it became the European Union, and whilst it was still the European Community. So, you know, a lot of things like that going on. And given that these countries were all formerly, and not so long ago, part of one country, which was the Soviet Union, which formed a single economic space, one does wonder whether, if all this does happen, as I said, you know, you aren't going to start getting synergies starting to appear. And it is with the Chinese involved. And the Chinese clearly are encouraging this process. I mean, they're not obstructing it. They are. My impression now is that what Xi Jinping basically said to these people in Xi'an is, go ahead with this meeting in Moscow. I want you all there. I want you all fully participating. This is in China's interests, and it's also in yours, and we want to see it happen, and we will support it. So, you know, all of this going on, and the loose ends, like the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia, tied up. I want to reiterate again, a lot of Armenians are not going to be happy with this. I mean, they will feel that the people in Nagorno-Karabakh have been sold out, both by their own leaders, including Pashinyan, and by the Russians, that the Russians, in pursuing this big reintegration process in Central Asia and in the Caucasus, have basically let these people down. And of course, they'll be granted autonomy, but they might feel that, you know, this autonomy might not work out very well in the long term. And anyway, it wasn't autonomy they wanted. It was outright independence. But there we are. You know, there's that famous quip that Thucydides once said, that are of men we know and the gods we believe, that the strong do as they will and the weak do as they must.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of Armenians are going to be very upset with this outcome, but I'm just trying to think, was there any other solution to this outside of continuing this conflict?
Well, I don't think there was.
I can't think of a different...
I don't think there was. And I think, being straightforward and realistic about this, the Russians are the dominant power in the Caucasus. Even Georgia is now making moves to tilt towards Russia. And, you know, despite the fact that they don't even have diplomatic relations, Russia is the dominant power in the Caucasus. Russia considers its relationship with Azerbaijan very important, and Armenia has had to do the best it can. And I mean, it has preserved itself, and perhaps, and I hope and believe that this autonomy for Nagorno-Karabakh will be real and that it will bring peace, because that is peace. I mean, you know, peace is always better than conflict and war, and this does provide a solution, a long-term sustainable solution to this very long and intractable conflict.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing that we learned from the Minsk agreement, and if this is modeled along the lines of the Minsk agreement, it's that if the Minsk agreement was followed, then it would have brought a lasting peace. But it has to be followed. It has to be implemented.
Well,
so,
this
is the key to all of this. Yeah.
This is the fundamental difference, because, of course, the president of Azerbaijan, Aliyev, comes across to me as a highly rational, grounded and practical person. Very, very different from the leadership in Kiev, who, just to say it briefly, were not. So he has seized the opportunity to settle this conflict on those sort of terms. And the Armenians, the Armenian leadership has, I think, understood the inescapable logic of it also. So, yes, I think that this could work. And I think it, I hope it does. And I think it probably will, because all the parties now will have an interest in ensuring that it does work. Of course, I say all the parties. The Americans probably won't be happy. But I don't know that there's very much that they can do.
Well, the Americans won't be happy. The French won't be happy. There
no.
won't be a large... No. Portion of Armenians that won't be happy, the Armenian diaspora. I'm sure there'll be a large part of the Armenian diaspora, which is significant and very powerful, that will not be happy. But what underpins a lot of this is, once again, you go back to China, One Belt, One Road, and even more than China, you have BRICS. And even more than BRICS, you have the growth of BRICS, which is countries like Iran playing an important part in this One Belt, One Road.
Yeah.
You know, you put all these pieces together and you can see that if this works, if this big Eurasia actually works, I mean, it's to the benefit of everybody in terms of economic growth, stability and trade. But, you know, people have to implement these deals. That's the key. Everyone has to play their part. And, you know, like you said, the U.S. and the European Union, they're going to try and play spoiler in all
indeed,
of this.
Indeed, and they're going to try to, as I said, play on Armenian feelings. And, you know, they will find some people who will listen. But I think it would be very dangerous, to say it mildly, for the Armenians to push back on this. Because to be frank, they can't take on Azerbaijan. It's now clear that they can't. Azerbaijan has a strong ally in Turkey, and that will be true whatever government there is in Turkey. The only country in the region able to protect and help Armenia is Russia. And the Russians do have strong personal feelings about Armenia. That there is no question. But they want to see this solution. I think Pashinyan has been pushed into agreeing to it. I think he's probably a realistic man. And I think ultimately, if it works, and I hope it will, it will be for the benefit of everybody at the end of the day, because even for people in Nagorno-Karabakh, ultimately, if provided there is peace. And I'm glad you mentioned Iran, because, of course, this is another big piece in the puzzle, in fact, one of the biggest pieces of all. Now, of course, Iran was not a member, a constituent republic of the Soviet Union at any time. It is a proudly independent country. But it is forging very close relations with Russia now. And I noticed some days ago that the admiral who is in charge of the Russian fleet was in Iran. But a much more important and interesting Russian has also just been to Iran. And that is Elvira Nabiullina, who is the chairman of the Russian Central Bank. And apparently the reason she was there was that, in effect, the Iranian banking system is being connected to the Russian interbank payment system and the Mir card and all of that. And that has enormous consequences because it also moves forward the whole process of economic integration in Central Asia. I mean, Iran will play an enormous role in this. And I mean, it's a big country, potentially a very big economy, very educated population, very large natural resources. It could be a major player in this. And incidentally, there's a significant Armenian diaspora in Iran, and Iran has had complex relations with Armenia in the past, but I can see that it could be a friend.
All right, we will leave it there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, and Telegram. We are also on Rockfin as well. And go to the Duran shop, 10% off. Use the code GOODDAY. Take care.